are the curtains, I don't care. Cause it's alright. I see you got your list out. Say your piece and get out. Yes, I get the gist of it. Cause it's alright.
That's right, you're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3 on 2SER.com. We had a little bit of a Russian hack. The Russians just hacked our server. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. We've got a huge show for you this evening. Sorry about the lack of intro music. So if you're on the M4 paying Gladys's tolls at the moment, blame the Premier, not us. Joined by me, the Punditaker. Got a huge show for this evening. Introduce our panel. We have, from right to left, Warm Lettuce.
Niet. I mean, hello. Sorry.
Yes, this is just like the US election.
Indeed. He has his
He's looking his shirt decidedly
off.
Russian.
He is. And he has his shirt off. We have Trudette.
Hi there.
She's back in white, not in black. We've got Tintin.
G'day, g'day.
And we've got Starvin Marvin.
Good to be back.
And Demo Crazy.
Good evening.
Now, we don't even know who is running the country. Have the foreigners already taken over? That's what seems to be the case this week, with the High Court hungry for Frydenberg. Dual citizenship saga continues as everyone's craving an audit. So this is a big story this week. Senate President Parry has excused himself from the Senate, and now questions have arisen about Josh Frydenberg, out of the fire into the Frydenberg, over whether he is by descent a Hungarian citizen.
Well, in terms of questions, I would say that the question has been answered. Where in Australian politics, there is an iron law. If the coalition gets a negative story on page one of the Australian, it is true. And so,
yes,
Josh Frydenberg, G-A-W-N, you are gone!
He is. Well, although, I look, in fairness, Warm Lettuce, he did make a point that his mother was Jewish and obviously got run out of town by the Nazis or by the sort of neo-fascist types. So the idea that she could be declared stateless and yet he inherits Hungarian citizenship seems a bit odd.
Yeah, it does. It does a bit. But surely there would have been some sort of act of parliament or something to reverse that, right? Is there such a thing as a stateless individual? And if that's the case, then why aren't we just making all of those, you know, nasty terrorists that go over and fight in the Middle East stateless so that we don't have to give them any rights?
Oh, we are.
That's the Trump era, right?
We are.
We tried, didn't we?
It seems like we can make them them stateless, but not our MPs. Now, of course, the other big loss this week was Stephen Parry. Parry Thrust decided to tell all the boys in Parliament that he was a POM, but he didn't decide to tell the Prime Minister Trudette. Is this just a sign of a rotten heart of a rotten government?
mean, I feel like it's sort of bloodletting or something, you know? It could be a sign of a rotten government, but I feel like it's sort of happening in so many fronts all over the place, the goodies and the baddies. So, I don't know. I feel like it's more, yeah, bloodletting. We're getting rid of all those terrible humours.
Humours?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I think it's a bit more like don't ask, don't tell, right? But in the parliament where it's like, you know, they all know that there's a few of them in there that are keeping their secret identity hidden, and they tell each other.
They don't
want to release it publicly, and now it's all coming out, and they should embrace it because that's what we stand for on Progressive 2SER is coming out, telling us who you really are.
What you call Christopher Pyne.
It feels good. Exactly.
Look, I can't believe you've all swallowed this story like hook, line and sinker. This is not the real story. Stephen Parry was sick of having to be Senate president, having to deal with Pauline Hanson in a burqa, having to listen to George Brandis pontificate. Whilst the High Court decision was coming, he applied for British citizenship. This was his ticket out. You heard it first on the Gristle. This is the real story. This will be coming out. So Stephen Parry, this was getting out of Parliament. He recognises the government is gone.
Indeed. Now,
I don't understand why we can't get one of these people, these technologically savvy people that we have in Signals or somewhere in Foreign Affairs or something. Why can't they develop a website where you just say, who am I? And then it goes out.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
And finds
Ancestry.com,
out, you know,
basically.
Sends an email to everybody that's in the United Nations and says, look, is this guy, you know this guy? Is he a person of interest to you?
Just message everyone on Facebook with your last name.
Well, I think that carries certain risks for the other Tasmanian senators because a lot of them probably don't know who their actual parents are, right? There's a bit of confusion when dealing with Tasmanians.
They could be cousins.
So who knows? The citizenship saga deepens.
That. You wouldn't say that wet lettuce if you were sitting in Hobart right now, would you?
Well, being from Burnie, I'm allowed to actually make Tasmanian jokes, so there you go.
Now, Trudette, Barnaby Joyce, of course, someone who was already given the ceremonial boot from Parliament, is contesting the New England by-election. As I always like to disclose, I may or may not be a Labour hack possibly being involved in this. Do you think he's going to win? Do you think people feel sorry for him? Or are they is it time to rip out the turnip and plant something else?
I mean, he appears to be more or less running unopposed, isn't he?
Hang on. There is a fine Labour candidate, David Ewings, former army man.
Yeah, and I heard
a fighter for the region.
I heard there's these two guys, Pistol and Boo, that are mounting a big campaign against Barnaby.
Indeed. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about Barnaby's chances? Just a shoo-in or...?
I mean, I suspect so. They do. They really do like him up there. And they're quite, you know, being from that part of the world, I can certainly say they're pretty conservative and well up Barnaby's alley, so to speak. Yeah.
They love getting up Barnaby's alley.
It'll actually be interesting to see what the turnout is going to be on this. And
93.7% last election.
Well, so if it's lower, that's going to be a vote
it was
of
lower,
no confidence.
1.3%.
And also, if there's a whole bunch of ineligible voting, then it could show that people do think he's on the nose.
Well, you know, does
93.7 agree with him?
does this mean there's a chance that the turnout could be lower in Barnaby's election than in the same-sex optional plebiscite? But is that what we're looking at here? I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
I think, and interesting factoid about that election, actually, it'd be interesting to see how the Labour vote goes. Labour's obviously running to send a message to Barnaby, and without a strong independent candidate, Labour could actually see its vote triple. It got 7% of the primary vote last time.
21%, yeah.
Wow. In fairness, we got nearly 30% when they didn't have a high-profile candidate. Look,
I was in Tamworth last year. It's a great town, but everyone there is into the country music scene. That's what I was there for, the country music festival. So all these candidates just need to get up, crack out a tune, get the guitar in their
Lee
boots.
Lee Kernahan, and Shannon Knoll was robbed. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, he was.
All right, we're going to go to a quick track. Hopefully the system will be working. We might even see. Let's have a look. This is Sassy 009. Are you leaving? This is going out to Stephen Parry and possibly Josh Frydenberg. Stick around, you're on the Gristle 2SER 107.3.
you have a great new program idea for 2SER?
2SER is reviewing its programming for 2018. As part of our review, we're asking you to submit any new program ideas you might have.
For all the info, head over to 2SER.com and follow the links.
2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3. 2SER.com. Also, big shout out to our listeners. Big shout out to our subscribers. Actually, you know, the Gristle came very, very close to one of the leading shows on the station, and it's all because of the support of our fantastic subscribers. Oh, I should turn on one of our subscribers' mics.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, everyone.
We actually just went to Eddie Obeid and got him to buy a whole bunch of subscriptions.
That is not true.
Indeed.
Eddie would have got way more.
That is definitely not true. That is
indeed true. We found a mining tenement right underneath the studio. Now, someone who's been, or an institution that's been sort of mining, well, plumbing the depths of unpopularity, of course, of the banks. And NAB this week has not done their reputation of the banks any favours by coming out with an announcement of, on the one hand, super profits, but on the other hand, firing 6,000 people and replacing them with, I presume, robots?
Yeah, that's actually more or less the thing. So they made $6.6 billion and fired 6,000. It's your three sixes. It says all you need to know, of course. But in the name of automation, apparently the biggest sacking of a financial workforce
now,
in Australian history.
I got to ask the panel, what is it with big businesses and the coalition's war on workers in this country?
Well, it's not a war on workers, according to the NAB, because they have a best practice transition plan, and they have a name for it and an image, and the name is The Bridge. And you look this up, this is incredible. It is this picture of a bridge in the middle of winter with snow spreading out, and there is no one there, and you have just been fired. And it is bloody cold, and it is lonely.
Indeed.
That is best practice transition, according to NAB. You are out in the cold.
Yeah.
It's a Scandinavian crime thriller type.
It's just waiting. Yeah, Bergen.
Not that you can afford to go to Scandinavia on your transition plan.
Now, of course.
Look, it doesn't matter at the end of the day because there's no more fees if I withdraw my CommBank account in an NAB machine. I don't have to pay an extra $2 anymore. So this is okay. It's all right. You know, just it's by the
indeed,
by,
indeed.
Whatever.
If it's a long bridge in the snow, does that make it the infamous bridge to nowhere that Sarah Palin was always banging about?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now,
best practice.
You can't see the other side.
Now,
you don't know what you're walking towards either.
Now, of course, in such winters of discontent, one may reach for an ice cream, ironically, but not this time with streets. Is it streets?
Yes, streets.
Thank God. sorry, Messina. Streets is in industrial chaos. They're having a beef with their workforce about wage disputes, and the union movement has called for a boycott. Trudette, Tintin, but the Young Libs have decided to say it's time to boycott the boycott. And there was some social media beauty this week when a bunch of Young Lib staffers from Macquarie Street, Parliament, went down to the harbour to advocate people eat streets ice creams to support screwing workers. Isn't this, like, what is going on?
And he's quite new. Like, he's very new in the gig, the new Young Liberal president. So this is, suddenly this is baptism by fire. He's everywhere, all over.
Maybe he's quite new to screwing.
I quite enjoy that the Libs are actually so out of touch with the common people at such a young age now. You
know,
they sort of start them so early, don't they?
I know. Like, who eats those ice creams anyway? Seriously.
Is Streets Magnum?
I love a good Magnum.
I like Magnum.
But we all live in the inner city. We all eat Messina. Come on.
True, I was there last night.
warm lettuce, you know, there's a rainbow of flavours at Streets, but it looks like there might not be a pot of votes at the end of the rainbow because there have been rumours, according to a Griffith University academic, that the yes vote may come up slightly empty-handed. Have you seen this?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, there was a university academic that used the same model that they used to predict that Trump would win the election, and they are predicting a no vote. It's based on taking the level of Twitter commentary and then shifting it based on age. But I've got to wonder, how do you really do that when all the Twitter commentary in the US election was Russians? I mean, surely you've got to account for the Russian influence if you're going to undertake that sort of analysis.
Have they been involved in this vote?
Didn't Trump lose by 3 million votes? I mean, so really.
He did, but he won the people that matter. Mm.
Which the Russians,
Maybe we will wait to see. That's going to be talked about later.
It's true. Like, Trudeau, do you think, I mean, what's your sense about this? I think a lot of people, certainly me, I think we all thought, thank God it's over, it's done and dusted, we've won, and we can get on with, you know, making bad jokes. But have you got any anxiety over this? Or?
You know, I didn't until I read this story. I sort of thought...
Thanks a lot, Griffith Uni.
But, you know, I mean, surely, like... Is Australian Twitter usage the same kind of same as in the US? Like, I feel like Australians are perhaps less up on the Twitter, and maybe it's not as good a kind of canvassing tool.
We're not all Corey Bernardi, essentially.
And regardless of the tweets, though, the way that this happened with the Australian Bureau of Statistics doing this rather than the Australian Electoral Commission, the results that come in are going to get weighted by people's demographics, particularly by their age. So it doesn't really matter what the tweets are, etc., because there's going to be that redistribution. It doesn't matter what the survey results are. There can be more no votes that come through in the survey. They're going to get re-weighted because of the age.
I thought they're going to get like weighted based on how dumb you are, and so Corey Bernardi's might sort of not count for much.
So
it's got nothing to do with democracy then. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying.
It's not a democratic process. It is a statistical bureau process.
All right, okay. So, but there's this... Bringing it back to this, you know, let's say that the yes vote gets over the line, and we certainly hope it does on this show. The Libs have been coming out with this freedom of religion argument, and there are moves in the Liberal Party backbench to amend the law to say basically, well, yes, we may have marriage equality and gay marriage, but you can still, you know, turn away all the puss at the door, as they would say. Surely that is undermining the very... like purpose of this law.
Hold on a second. How do these guys have monopoly on this argument? I mean, I was at a religious house of worship a few weeks ago who was very pro marriage, and they, if they want those rights, why shouldn't they have
I know. I mean, look at the Catholic Church. It's like a bunch of men wearing skirts. I mean, come on. Anyway.
Frocks.
I just like warm my lettuce. Do you see this as just, it's just the right wing of the party. They don't care.
Salad as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think just they like to giveth with one hand and taketh with another. Well, they said, oh, if we're going to give them, you know, a little bit of rights over here, we're going to take away some little rights over there, and they'll balance the book. They see it like a budget. They're like, there's got to be a surplus of gay hate in here for us to find it acceptable. So I think that's how they're coming at it.
Is that tradable?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, tell me, like, there's all this about the cake argument, you know, if they don't want to bake a cake. Oh. Tell me one cake baker who doesn't want the business, who will not be like, yes, okay, all right, more weddings, fantastic, bring it in.
Trudeau, do you see this as a bit of a suicide pact on the part of the Liberal Party, or is it just one of many suicide pacts?
I mean, it seems a bit odd to me, this whole religious freedom vote, religious freedom argument, because really, I mean, we kind of dealt with this pretty early on. We have civil marriages, civil unions, you know, Catholic priests are not going to be required to marry gay people, despite the fact they'd happily marry me, and I'm a terrible sinner just as much as the rest of them. So I find it a little bit kind of hypocritical, but, you know,
sin is
whatever.
In.
But yeah, I mean, it sort of seems to me, you know, as Tintin says, you know, I think most people in the wedding industry would be pretty stoked. Their eyes sort of glaze over as soon as they hear anything to do with weddings.
So. I thought that I thought the edict from the Pope was marry well and marry often. All right, we're going to go to a quick track. This is Smurs, No Harm. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about, of course, Putin and Trump and...
Queensland election.
Where will it end? Stick around, you're on 2SCR 107.3. Say you know me, the one I'm gone. Fly as a friend and say that nothing's ever come. All I wait for is a Jewish boy to So tell me good lies, I know you got it in you. Like we're all lonely, huh? Cause we burn up some. Tell me That's right, you're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3, 2SER.com. In the last few minutes before May Panic, Gay Panic, we've got... There's a lot of panic talking about G-A-Y-E panic in Queensland. Warm lettuce. Looks like there is a... The Reds are storming the building, but not the Bolshevik revolution of 100 years ago.
Yet.
No, it's... It's the fish and chip revolution of 21 years ago, with Pauline Hanson's party looking like they may hold the balance of power in Queensland. How did it happen that democracy up there is now held by the short and curlies by a fairly extreme party? What's going on?
I don't know. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? Because it's always been this bastion of intelligent thought up in Queensland. You know, all the great philosophers have come from Brisbane.
Aristotle, you know, like, of Brisbane. Exactly. Plato of Townsville.
I mean, if I'm sitting down and I want to discuss Nietzsche with someone, I go to the Gold Coast, because that's where you get the quality thought.
God is dead. Indeed.
I just like it how we've started our international segment of the show on Queensland, and let's face it.
Well, it is. It is. I often feel like I need a visa when I go up there.
Haven't seceded yet? What?
Now,
I'd like to point out that Tim Nicholls has said that he will refuse any sort of deal with One Nation. So what is going to, if One Nation has the balance of power,
people say,
are they going to be in coalition with the Labor Party? So what's going to happen?
Well, it's a bit like saying, you know, at the start of a night, there's an average-looking person, you're like, oh, I'm not going to sleep with that person. But when they're the last person left and you've had a few drinks and you really, really want to go home with someone, you go home with One Nation. Yeah, that's what's going to happen with LNP.
So this is not confession, warm letters.
So One Nation is the average-looking person of the party, right?
Yes.
It's more of a Caesar salad.
Average-looking redhead.
If they come away without syphilis, they'll be doing well. Now, what is behind this surge to One Nation? I was chatting to a colleague today, and he was chatting that actually the Palaszczuk government, they've been ruling as a minority government. That's correct.
That's right, because they lost a couple of MPs right at the start.
Indeed. And so they actually had the Newman government a few years ago had a big swing against it, but there was talk that actually that was more hatred for lizard neck Newman, that actually with a more moderate candidate, we wouldn't have seen the Palaszczuk government. What have they done wrong, or is it just that people up there, they don't like a premier's name who they can't spell?
I think voters around the Western world are just upset. And they're, Queensland's, there is that divide.
What do you say, Starvin? They're angry, but they don't know why.
They're pissed off.
This is family programming here on the Gristle.
That's true.
And they're particularly pissed off the further north you get in Queensland. And look, it's going...
And pissed in general.
Hotter.
And look, pissed in general.
If I was Queensland Premier, I would not be calling an election as it goes into summer when it gets bloody hot and
this
humid and
among
people
the latest...
start to go troppo. I mean, this is just encouraging the crocodiles.
But what do we think the impact on the federal election is going to be? I mean, if One Nation gets 18% of the vote up there, there are several seats Labor needs to win in Queensland. I mean, are we going to have to dye our hair red?
Good luck. But the big thing that they're pissed off about, because I've just done a bit of work in this area, and they're pissed off about electricity prices, because in Queensland, the electricity prices have been boosted by effectively a river of gold going back to the Labor government. And this is why they're pissed off, because it's perfectly obvious this is where the money's going. It's going back into government coffers.
Good, good. They don't know how to spend it. All right, we're gonna talking about someone who does know how to spend money, Vladimir Putin and Facebook. Isn't this a fantastic story? If you want to check out one great Facebook story this week, team, thoughts on this? The Russian Facebook ads. They were fantastic. Did anyone see? So basically, Russia tried to sow chaos and discontent in the US election. Trudette, did you see any of these ads? They had Bernie Sanders as the gay marriage superstar with like a six pack. Did anyone see like as him
it
and
was a colouring in book? It truly was. It was a Bernie Sanders colouring in book.
Oh yeah, my god!
So great. I actually wish I bought one.
I wonder if everyone coloured his budgie smugglers red and then told Tony about it. Did anyone see the arm wrestle of Jesus with Clinton?
Oh. It was Jesus and the devil who was supposed to be supporting Clinton.
Her campaign manager.
Is this episode of South Park now? What?
It was insane. They also, but what was interesting is you saw they pitched not just to the GOP because they're morons, but actually pitched to the Bernie Bros, who are also kind of morons, about saying they were doing the ads that say the South will rise in one hand, and then they were doing Black Lives Matter ads. This is brilliant.
It's actually trolling done really well. Very high level stuff.
Whatever highly motivates someone, you just take the side that pushes them towards your outcome. And it's so segmented, nobody actually joins together all those different things, and they don't realise the inconsistency.
See, we should do this with the right of politics, troll them, come out and say, all right, what we want is a special 18C discrimination where you can't tell shopkeepers that they're not allowed to serve gay people, and then they won't know what to think. They'll be like, do we support 18C or not?
That'll be wide. Look, that's all we have time for this evening. Stick around for Gay Panic, another troll farm, but a fantastic one, and all the great programming here on 2SER. Apologies for our little malfunction earlier. Taking us out is Tears. Make it up, just like the Russians do. You're on 2SER.